Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by my good friend Rebecca Lowry, and she has worked in the realms of personal development and self-awareness for over 25 years. The last 12 as a tantra teacher and practitioner, and 2 years ago she was guided to bring all of her wisdom, skills and tools into the business world. Rebecca now works with individuals who've reached a certain level of success and are ready to deepen their understanding and experience of life in order to bring even more of their fullest potential to the world. And we are just going to talk about what it means to be a grown-up, to be an adult. Not that I'm saying you've got it all figured out.
Oh God, no. Definitely not. Definitely not. Does anyone?
I don't know. And that's the thing, right? So let's just start with that. What does being an adult or adulting mean to you?
Adulting. Well, being an adult and adulting, I think, are two different things in a way. I mean, it might be maybe a bit pedantic, but being an adult for me means, you know, I'm making the appointments I need to make and I'm arriving places on time. And I'm, I guess, kind of in the right brain, doing things the right way, kind of stuff. Whereas for me, adulting is when I'm doing all of that, but almost having to, it's like almost my inner child is doing that because she knows it needs to be done.
Okay.
It's like it almost comes from a different place, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's a layover of things.
So there's this, that's really interesting as well. Okay. So the idea that we just arrive, that we arrive into being an adult and then it's all easy. But there's what you're talking about there is like there's sometimes it is, sometimes it's natural and we just get shit done. Other times there's this like rebellious inner child or teenager or adolescent who knows we've got to do the things but doesn't really want to.
Or maybe doesn't feel that she or he can. You know, it's like the adult me, if I tune into her, she can do some stuff. The bits of me that are tired or poorly or don't want to or want to be out, you know, running wild or doing whatever, they don't know how to adult, but often they are who's here.
Okay.
So then how do you do the two? I guess that's the question, isn't it? That's the question.
Yeah. How do you do the two?
You know what? How do I do the two? I think I fluctuate through my days. So my days are very flexible anyway. I there's no one day the same. And so I think certainly in the morning, I have a morning practice and that keeps all the parts of me on the road a little bit. You know, it keeps me sane and it keeps me grounded so that the adulting, whoever's doing it, can do it. So the morning practice helps.
Yeah.
And a balance between planning a little bit ahead, having some things in place, and also having flexibility in my day and in my schedule for other parts of me to come out to play, and or scheduling them time to play.
See, that's really interesting for me because I would say that my default is adult and has been for a really long time, like way before it probably should have been.
Yeah.
So, and the reason that I thought of that is that my morning practice kind of clocks me into or plugs me into that other part of myself.
In what way?
That doesn't know. Right? Mm. Because the part of me that doesn't know and wants to go and be wild and wants to go and like just do nothing and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, she needs bringing in too because, I don't know, because there's wiseness in that as well. Like there's wiseness in our mistakes. There's wiseness in the cracks. If we were just queen mode all of the time, there'd be no fun.
Right. Absolutely. It's funny. I was watching a Will Smith Instagram story And he was saying something we hear all the time, but somehow hearing it through his voice, it sunk in a little deeper, where he was encouraging people to go and fail more. Mm-hmm. And I guess I trust him a bit because he's been pretty successful, you know. And I live by one of the things he said, which is that he stays ready so he doesn't have to get ready. And mm-hmm. And I liked that a lot. At the time, I needed it. So he was saying about failing, he was saying, like, you're never going to innovate or create something new if you're too afraid to fail. You know, and I know big entrepreneurs say that all the time, but the actual doing it, I think it takes that. Oh, I've only just got this, actually. I was about to say it. It takes that cross between the adult and the child. The child's less afraid of making mistakes. The adult has to know what it is you're needing to do. What are you bringing? What are you making? And then let the child make the mistakes.
Yeah, and also, like, quite often, unfortunately, our adult has an agenda. And often, you know, and that can be to keep you safe, right? That's cool. Sure.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Really okay. I'm really glad that I have a part of me who wants to keep me safe. That's great. And outside of the safety, or outside of, like, just what we've always done, is all this more interesting stuff. And just because you've never done it that way doesn't mean that there's not a better way to do something.
No, and I also think, you know, as you're saying, it's reminding me, because this has been my big message over the new year, is that I get stuck in my adult head. I get stuck in my doing, and I have to kind of actively bring myself out. And I do a few things with that. One is I just start to, you know, I meditate and all that, but that often puts, I go away from my adult head and then I come back into it afterwards. So that's not always the answer for me. For me, the answer is usually something creative, like making art, but I'm not an artist. So for me, it's like cutting things out and sticking them down with Pritt stick and, you know, that kind of, like, child art. I make collage and mixed media stuff for fun because it gets me out of the thinking, doing adult place.
Yeah.
So I wonder if creativity is one of the doorways through.
I think I was just writing actually earlier that I think adversity creates creativity. And
oh, definitely.
And that creativity is our gateway into solutions. And that means that we have to create adversity to find new solutions in some kind of a way. Because if it was just linear, then there would be nothing new.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you know, John DeMartini says that the scientific definition of love is equal amounts of challenge and support. Because he says with too much support, we all become juvenile and don't grow, and too much challenge, we fall apart. But equal amounts, so you need the challenge to grow.
Yeah.
You know? There's something else I was just going to say on that, but I've already forgotten it. About adversity.
It'll come back. But I do, I love that. So for me, all of this stuff that we've been playing with, like, you know, this kind of adult part and this child part, they are true, and we might want to call them that. But sometimes those energies show up for me as masculine and feminine, you know, or
oh, yes.
Act and direct, or receive and take, and, like, you know, all of these different energies. And I'm not sure anymore, like, which bit is my adult, which bit is my masculine that's been so, like, programmed by society to be the dominant one, right? We're supposed to grow up and then use our logical brain to get shit done.
And that's the bit that's valued. We've become a society that values the thinking analytical mind, and we've shamed the intuitive felt sense of knowing from here down, which is feminine.
And yes, and you know, I say this every single time, it's got absolutely nothing to do with being a man or a woman. It's,
right.
Yeah, you know, and I just feel like it does need re-saying again, because as a society, like, our feelings or our intuition or our senses or being are all shamed and devalued and not given the same amount of weighting.
Right.
In the world as doing something would.
Right. And I think I guess we need, like, a critical mass of the world would start to feel into their intuition and their flowy sense of doing things and the felt sense of things, be a very different world. And that's not women ruling the world, although that's a whole other thing that would be amazing, but it's just having the feminine and masculine in balance in everyone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it feels very much for me in my tiny little corner of the world, like like something there is shifting, because for a start, there are more women who have access to creating entrepreneurship or businesses or money or, you know, having influence or power affecting change than ever before, because so many of our systems are free and available at around children and stuff.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And then also this other part, which is that men are starting to value flow state.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the things I've seen recently, you know, my background working in Tantra and whatever, it was very an intuitive work and bringing people into their bodies and using guided meditation and all that sort of thing. And then I realized the business world is starting to use those things, you know, like the Gary Vaynerchuk's of the world and the guy who runs LinkedIn, they're talking about compassionate leadership and self-awareness and all these things that require you to be connected to your heart.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. You know, it like business is going back round. You know, I think where we used to have like mom and pop businesses and you used to go to that business because that, you know, you've known that person for three generations and all that sort of thing. And then we came out of that and into the bigger corporate kind of whatever. And now we're coming back round, I think, into the heartfelt stuff. Even big businesses are doing it now, which is
Personality, like we need, you know, it's and this kind of idea of vulnerability being a marketing tactic or tool, which just makes me laugh because you can feel the difference.
Right. It's interesting too about vulnerability though, because you have to be vulnerable to allow yourself to fail. And so, no, you don't think so?
No, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Maybe. I was just thinking, yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but my perception is that people who are afraid to fail are afraid to be vulnerable.
Yes. No. I agree with you on that. I don't think people necessarily think of it that way around. It's more around being rejected, which is, you know, the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say the human wound is I'm not enough. The human wound is I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. And so if we fail or if we're rejected, it that all feeds all of that. And underneath all of that's all this shame and conditioning about who we should be and who, you know, all of that. And I think whatever realm I'm working in, it's about clearing all of that. So same for you, you know, I think the work that we both do is about clearing all the conditioning so that who you really are can emerge, and then balancing all of the who we are, you know, so we can adult and do the world and still be that bright, vibrant spark of whatever it is that we are.
Yeah.
You know, went off on a tangent there a little bit.
No, absolutely. You know, I think for me, that's the whole point. And, you know, I feel like our world, the kind of personal development world, has got very serious recently.
Because there seems to have to be an ending to it. You do the personal development to get something.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing it because it brings you more of you.
Yes, because that couldn't possibly be enough.
Right. Because we're not enough.
Where's the tangible thing I can see, you know? And that's the part, but right, when you're growing a business or you're starting out, you have to identify what someone's gonna get. What are they gonna get as a result of working with you? Are they gonna make more money? Are they gonna have more time? Are they gonna be sexier? Ultimately, everything boils down to those three things. And if you can't show how you're gonna make someone more money, get them laid, or give them time back,
then
no one's interested, right?
Yeah, fascinating, isn't it? And as the teacher, facilitator, or whatever of that, you can never guarantee it to anyone because they might not do the work. You know, they might show up and not do the work, or they might not show up fully. I've worked with people who they kind of show up in their body, not in their body. Their body shows up, but they're not there, you know. And some people will do it overnight, and some people will need more weeks. And it's an I've never quite worked out how to save someone in, you know, 12 weeks, you're going to have this thing. I know you're going to know yourself better. You're definitely going to know yourself better.
Yeah. And I've had people who have come in to work with me and then, you know, decided this thing that they've just spent 2 years of their life and their life savings on isn't the thing they want to do anymore. And, you know, from the outside, that might look like I've failed them and they failed and it's terrible. I tell you what's not terrible, discovering 2 years in and not 10 years in. you know, or discovering, you know, when you've spent, you know, a bit of your savings, not every single penny you own, or, you know, that I think that it's often our perspective that needs to shift. And actually, you know, the one person I'm thinking of in this situation was so happy that they'd made this realization, right?
Right.
Suddenly like, oh, wow, you mean I don't have to do this?
No. And maybe they got exactly what they needed.
No, completely. They did. They got exactly what they needed. It just wasn't what they signed up for or what they were expecting to get as a result.
Yeah, I see that happen a lot, though, because I think we often don't know what's possible. So we can...
Yeah, it can totally work both ways. You know, I've had other people, you know, for the most part, just I feel like I should correct that. But for the most part, people come in and think, I would like X, Y, and Z in 5 years, and they get it in 6 months, right? And and that's also possible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. It is a lot about perception, isn't it? Because we can only move in the world as we perceive it. And as we expand our perception, so our world grows, so we can grow. So, you know, your other person, they had a huge transformation and they could see, I can shut that road down and take a new road. And then their whole life would have opened up a different way.
Mm. And, you know, that's the thing. Two people could have exactly the same experience. And for one of them, it's profound. And the other, it's like, oh, well, you know, I guess that's what I was hoping would happen.
Sure. But you also don't know where that seed is going to take them. I once, years and years and years and years ago, I used to do Reiki. And I did some Reiki on this woman. And she kind of went, yeah, it was all right. And I was like, really? Because I felt amazing things happen. But whatever, you know. And she went off. And I didn't see her for maybe a year. And she came back and she said, you would never believe it, but I'm now a Reiki master and I'm teaching Reiki. I was like, excuse me? She said, that session you did, she said, I didn't really feel anything at the time, but she said over the next few weeks, she couldn't put it down. And she started doing some research and seeing other practitioners. And then it took off. And all I could think was, it just opened the door for her. I wasn't supposed to be her teacher, facilitator any further.
Absolutely. And that's happened for me. You know, I've had, you know, again, kind of right back at the beginning, I think now I've got more experience in helping people get what they need now, as well as shifting things for later. But I had lots of people at the beginning who would write me 3 months, 4 months, 6 months later and say, you know, I don't think I gave you credit at the time for the shifts that happened. It took time for their life to catch up with who they became as a result of the shift in perception of who they are and the world and how they fit and what's available for them and all of that.
Right. And then for the results to come back at them, for them to go, oh, this is the result.
Time lag thing, right?
Of course. Yeah. Right. Well, it's like they say, if you think about a pink elephant, you can think about it. But if you manifested immediately, you'd have a pink elephant in your room, which isn't what we want, which is why there's a time lag. So we can get really clear and not have pink elephants show up in our room. Whereas your clients are getting what they want. There's the appropriate time lag for it to show up.
And often that's for us to be ready, right? Like, you know, if genuinely, and I sometimes say this to my clients, like, if you can't deal with your inbox now, if you can't deal with like your diary, your schedule, feeding yourself well, going to bed on time now, then why would a universe that loves and supports you give you any more? It will break you. And it's just not that cruel.
That's it.
And if I had the amount of clients, the amount of email, the amount of incoming energy into my world that I do now 4 years ago, it would have broken me.
Yeah. You have to grow into being that person, don't you?
Yeah, and you have to do that first. You have to create the capacity within inside yourself and the belief that you can handle it for a start.
Yeah.
If you don't even think you can handle it, then you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. I'm thinking of like 1,000 different situations where that's true. Yeah.
We just chatted through 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
So I know.
I felt like we were just revving up.
I know. Would you end with a confession with me?
Sure, confessions. Sure.
Like it can be as nothingy, as serious, as fun as you like. So I always just get people to do an "I'm an adult," but and you are, you know, we had a very adult conversation.
Can you use big words a couple of times? I'm an adult, but the only thing that comes to mind is maybe not very interesting, and maybe it's on the back of a conversation I was having earlier. I'm an adult, but I could live all winter on toast.
I think that's my favorite so far. Me too.
Gluten free, because I can't do gluten. There's my adult bit, you know. If I ate the stuff with gluten, I would just pass out and be sick and it wouldn't be nice. But gluten-free bread, which I don't even think is good for me.
Oh, it's not, but it's so good.
And you can do anything with it, you know. It can be sweet or savory. You can have it in the morning or at night. You know, I could live on toast, especially in the winter.
Good to know. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to compete with that. I am an adult, but actually, you know, and this will probably be coming out after all the winterness is done, but I sometimes lie in bed praying for someone to come and start my car for me and defrost it and make it warm inside before I have to go anywhere.
I think that's pretty adult, actually. No, I mean,
I just want that person to appear. I just want them to appear.
That would be amazing. That maybe someone needs to do that as a service. There's a whole business in that.
Yeah. I have an old friend who's he wasn't even yet a boyfriend at the time, but he was a guy who was around, and he did that for her, and she married him, quite rightly.
Because of that?
Probably wasn't, but in my head, yes.
Right. You have to put it on your list then of things that you want in your person.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to come off this call and I'm going to add it to my list.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with me today.
Oh, thank you so much.
If people want to find out, we'll put all of this on the show notes, but if people want to come find you, hang out with you some more, where's the best place for them to go?
Either my website, which is self-alchemy.com, or all the social media. I tend to use Facebook and Instagram the most, but I'm everywhere else too, either as Rebecca Lowry or self-alchemy, I think, everywhere. Yeah.
Good. Well, I will make sure all the links are in there so they're very easily clickable. And
thank you so much.
So much. This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.